This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
God wants something from his people, and he wants something from his church and from you and me. And what he wants most of all is for us to be with him. That's why the cross. That's why his love. That's why the healings. That's why the miracles. And also that's why the fight. Because whatever God wants, there's always a resisting enemy. That's why the cross. Come on, that's why he loved his love. That's why he came. But he's going to have his way. Whenever God calls a people, his people, to do something or move somewhere or go somewhere, biblically, he always prepares them for the journey. He always, in advance, you read your Bible. I'm not going to go story after story, but he always gives them a word of preparation. You will need this for the journey. Or expect this along the way, and this is how you should react if you treat it this way or you come across this. He always prepares his people, knowing that as his people, his imperfect people, he's prepared us enough that even in our imperfect walk, we have enough to complete the journey. Because the people of God, as long as they're the people of God, they always win. No matter how challenging the journey at times may be. When I began this series, and thank you so much for the responses and encouragement about this series, and we were entering this new year, and we talked about the Roaring Twenties. In a couple of weeks, I may go back and kind of do a wrap on things for those who weren't here for one reason or another, but he told me to prepare the people, prepare myself, and that means preparing for something. And I took it as a prophetic word. I don't stand up here as a prophet. I'm not that prophetic in my voice, but I know when God gives me a prophetic word. Okay, I'm a pastor through and through. I'm not trying to be anything else. He said, prepare. Which is really kind of contrary or not a word I was hearing, but from a very few to prepare. You know, every time we come into a new year, everybody's talking about, oh, how glorious it's going to be, and all, you know, but the Lord told me prepare. And he gave me those messages that we continue today. The first one was perseverance and prayer the next Sunday, and then passion, the generational, and then presence. And this one, provision this week, provision. Provision. Typically when the first thought that comes to our minds when it comes to provision or providing is money. How can I get the money I need to live on? And given that one is the first thing that comes to our mind, you would think that money will be an easy topic to preach about in church. And for some, I guess it is, but for me, it's not. In fact, it is my least favorite topic. That's why I speak so seldom on the topic directly. But when the Lord tells me to prepare and he lists that down in there, provision, he didn't say money, he said provision, then I obey God. And I thought as I was preparing, why is money such an easy, uneasy topic to preach? For me, it's because I guess I don't want to be labeled as one of those, you know, everybody say it together, money preachers. Lord, please don't put me in that camp. I'm either right or wrong. I don't know. I don't want to be labeled as a money preacher. And I noticed, though, when I briefly touched on even tithing last week, the atmosphere kind of quickly changed. And I could sense the shift. And I said, why? And I think I know the reason why. Money is the most abused message in the church. And it always has been. It's not a new thing. From the early church, money was the most abused message. It's the message that deals with man's greatest desire of the flesh. It deals with the world's greatest pursuit. And it addresses man's greatest fear, which is the lack of money. My daddy had a saying, and he wasn't the most spiritual guy. He was a great dad. He was a Christian, but he used to always tell me, he said, son, money is not the most important thing in the world until you don't have any. That's just struck at the humanity of us, you know. And I believe it's the same reason that Jesus often touched on the topic of money in his teachings and parables about the kingdom of God. It's the world's greatest desire, greatest area of abuse. But when Jesus talked about provision, it always consisted of more than money. In fact, money is not close to being the major area of God's provision, and I'm speaking to you about provision. You see, money can't buy peace of mind. Money can't buy godly wisdom. Money cannot buy contentment. It cannot buy security and safety. Money can buy eternal security. It can't buy the gifts of the Spirit. It can't buy a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. It can't buy prophecy. It can't buy spiritual discernment. It can't buy faith. It can't buy healings. It can't buy miracles. It can't buy tongues. It can't buy interpretation. Money can't buy love. It cannot buy God's love, and it cannot buy man's love. And money can't buy this message. See, my income doesn't change based on a Sunday offering. You can write a check for $10 million and my income would not change one penny. So set your minds at ease. The elders made sure of that. We got great elders. And the fact of the matter is, thanks to this message, my wife and I have been absolutely 100% debt-free for 15 years, including the house, before I was a pastor. Neither me nor this church needs to preach or manipulate for your money. This is a faithful and generous body of believers. But the Holy Spirit put this P of provision. He said, prepare my people for what's coming. And he said, this is one. In addition to perseverance, in addition to prayer, passion. Come on, in addition to all those P's, presence. The next one, he said, provision. When God calls his people, prepares his people for something ahead, he always prepares his people. So I just want you to receive this word in that spirit. I'm not apologizing for, no, not at all. But I just wanted to set your hearts. I don't want the uneasiness as we go into the things that are dear to man's heart. So if we would turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, going to start in verse 1. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. He said, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. For us, that's your workplace. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Says the Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then this covenant goes on. I'm not going to read the rest, but what it goes on and it says, for every blessing that I'm putting before you, if you should turn away from me, he said, a curse will be on those same things. God made a covenant with the children of Israel. And as we learn, whenever you hear that term children of Israel, it's really saying the children of Jacob, the tribes of Israel, the church of Israel, Jacob. You can say the children of Jacob. He made a covenant with the children of Israel. Now it shall come to pass, if you obey, will set you high above the nations, and the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. So God made a covenant with the chosen people. As I've spoken before, it's a covenant and a promise, but it's a covenant versus a promise. A covenant is always a two ways, I will, if you will. Anytime you're looking at a discourse from God in the Bible, if you see the word if, now you got a covenant. When you see the words I shall do and you see no if, that's a promise. Here we have a covenant made to the people of Israel. You know, I was watching on television last week a History Channel documentary on the Nazi plan to exterminate the Jews. It was known as the Final Solution. And when I was riveted by it. It was a vivid expose of the horrors of those years, and it really began in about 1933 until not just the end of the war, but until today. And it has some incredible interviews with several Auschwitz survivors. And I thought, what is it about the Jewish people that garners so much hatred in the world? What is it about the children of Jacob that don't even after that the world hates so much, this teeny little nation about the size of New Jersey? What is it about this so small group of people? And then there was an interview with one of the survivors. And she said in Germany that the major accusation against them was they were accused of being the cause of the economic woes in Germany and around the world. Those people, the children of Israel, they're the cause of all our economic problems. And she said, I remember she was looking on TV and this little old lady, how could we be the cause? You see, they had one problem that made them easy to hate, especially in difficult economic times for a nation. For some reason that none of their enemies could point to, overall, they prospered in the face of adversity. Even though there was no Jewish mafia, there's no Jewish organized crime syndicate, there are very, very, very few Jews in prison even today. Low amounts of stress, statistically, low amounts of depression, low amounts of suicide. Yet for some reason that no one can explain even today, they have a general tendency to prosper, even in the face of adversity. A well-earned reputation of financial success. And me knowing my Bible just a little bit, I said this to myself, when God makes a covenant, he keeps it publicly. And he told him, but because of this, the world will be afraid of you. The Bible, you can stop looking at the news, read your Bible. But then as the word of God unfolded, let's turn to 1 Peter 2, 6 through 10. So what does that have to do with me? Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. This is from Isaiah, elect and precious. This is Peter quoting. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word which they also were appointed. But you, somebody point to your neighbor and say, but you. And point to the other neighbor, but you. But you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Listen, a holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the promises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. For you. What is this? This is what is known as adoption. Adopted children of Jacob. Adopted children of Israel. Adopted into the family. What you hear called spiritual Israel, that is you. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you are under the same covenant as the natural children. Except it gets a little bit better. That's why they called it a new covenant. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, what that means to you and this covenant is the curses of the covenant, the curses that he pronounced over Israel died on the tree. But listen, the blessings did not. If somebody tells you because you don't tithe, your money is cursed, they don't know the Bible. I'm not here to manipulate this morning. The curses died, but the blessings did not. The covenant for provision is for all his children, from the children of Jacob to his adopted children. He said he came to his own. I came to my natural children. They didn't receive me. He says, but this is John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them he came the right to become children of God. That's you. To those who believe in his name. Listen, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. but God. I like military stuff. Even though I didn't serve in the military, my family was a military family. I missed the Vietnam draft by a couple of years, and I don't regret that one bit. But one of the most moving moments, shaping moments of my life was seeing a cousin that was like a brother, and he was older, and all we played was Army, and he was a single child, and he volunteered, went off to war, and the next time I saw him, he was in a casket, and I never will forget his mom screamed the entire service, and whenever I saw her, there was grief over her face till the day she died, and always be thankful for the sacrifice, church. Somebody made for me to stand here and preach this. But anyway, when I look at war movies, one thing I always know is the planning, when they're planning. Whenever the military generals and strategists were planning for an invasion, one important part of the evasion was they look at what are the supply line routes. In other words, as we go forward in this invasion, how are we going to get supplies up the line? And they would look at roads, and they would look at bridges, and they would look at railroads. And that was the first thing that, okay, we're going to bomb the mess out of some people, but we can't bomb the railroad tracks and bridges. You know, anybody ever know that? Keep the railroad track, because we need those supply lines so as the troops advance, so as my church advances, I need the supply lines open so I can make sure they get provision to carry them all the way through to the victory. God's supply line starts with kingdom promises and strategic purposes of God. Then God invites us, you and me, to come into what is known the army of the Lord and join with him in his covenant promises, join with him as a true soldier of the of his army. When Jesus appeared to on the plain of Jericho, what's his name? Joshua. And he identified himself. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's army. You remember that? He said, join with me. God would not send you into the fight for him without a supply line. And God's supply line is not like the world's supply line. Both move money, but one side wins and one side loses. Both move money, but one is blessed and one is not blessed. Both move for money, but one brings sorrow and stress, and one, the Bible said, makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Both move money, but one leaves you in fear of loss and one gives you faith and confidence. Both move money, but one supplies all your needs and the other is never enough. I'm enjoying the Daily Audio Bible with Brian Harden. I know some of you have come up even today expressing how much you're being blessed by that. He's got one quote that I love, and I wrote it down. He said it more than once. He says, the world tells you everything that you don't have and then tries to sell it to you. I said, that is it right there. The world tells you everything. You don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this car. You don't have this house. You don't have this. Right. And then let me sell it to you. Even our politics, that's what it's all about. Let me tell you everything you don't have, and then I'm gonna sell it. It's the same thing. The first error that Christians make in understanding God's provision is the tendency to separate the promise of provision from the purpose of provision. We all do it. We come in with these needs, and Lord, I'm running short, and you know, I got these bills and I need this. And we tend to separate that and say, thank you, God, for this personal blessing that you gave me. Oh, Lord, you just blessed me. And I think the Lord is saying, yeah, but why? Do you know the why? See, our human tendency is because of our need and sometimes lack and hurt. When God blesses, we'll take it so, thank you, God, I worship you. Oh, my God, I pray for you. And he's looking at you like, well, why do you think I did it? Why are you alive another day? After you give yourself to life to Jesus, why does he even keep us here another day? It's not for you. The second error is the failure to understand the key that God is trying to turn concerning provision even. When these many times in the Bible, he personally sat down and talked to someone about, directly or indirectly, about money. He's trying to turn a key. And the second error is the failure to understand the key of God's provision, the heart. It's something in the heart. I'm going to share two conversations that Jesus had. One, turn up to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41-44. Now, Jesus said opposite the treasury. This is outside the temple. He said opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant, which is like a penny. Say it again. Many who were rich put in a lot. And this one poor widow came and put in a teeny bit. So he calls his disciples himself. I can see Jesus doing this and watching this woman. And then the Bible says he called, in verse 40, he called his disciples, come here, boys, and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. I want to submit to you, Jesus wasn't looking for a tenth, he was looking for a heart. When it's down to almost nothing or nothing, when it's down to your last, he wasn't looking for the mites, he was looking, is your heart all the way with me? The key of the heart. Let's back up to Mark chapter 10. Verse 17. Go through 31. Now as he was going out on the road, this was before actually the widow. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and I asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I haven't figured this next line out. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. One day the Lord will reveal a message to me out of that. I don't have it yet. He said, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. I've been going to church since I was a kid. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Oh, did you pick that up? I don't want you to miss that. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around again and said to his disciples, okay, let's talk about this one, boys. How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished. Wait, Lord, how, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all to follow you. So Jesus answered and said, as surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who should not receive hundredfold now in this time, houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Listen, we want to skip over this. With persecution. And in the age to come, listen, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. There's so much here. You had the widow who had nothing. And then you had the man with many, many possessions. The widow didn't even see Jesus. The man with many possessions ran after him and fell to his knees. Jesus tests the heart. I believe the same test that he was putting on this man, sell all you have. Everything you have, sell it and give it to the poor. It was the same test he put on Abraham. Bring your son Isaac and sacrifice him. He's not looking for the sacrifice. He's looking for the heart. Last year, personal, I told my wife, the Lord has blessed us. And I said, darling, I've got to give more. And we're very generous, I believe, anyway. Full tithers forever to the church, as long as we've been here and still today. Got to give more. And I know a lot of people say they don't carry cash. I started carrying cash, not to spend, but to give away. Don't sound like a bragging moment, it's just the truth. I just started being sensitive to the Lord in the grocery stores, in the car washes, wherever, Lord, where, it was overwhelming to me. Two things, gratitude and generosity. It was tearing me up. And actually, I've got something around my neck that I bought in Israel. I'm not going to pull it out because the sound people, there it is. You know, the staff say I look Miami when I wear it and see it, you know. Until I give them the lesson what it is. I bought it in Israel in an antiquity store. So it's the real deal. It's bands of 24 karat gold. Money, 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 ching, ching, ching. But in the middle is an authentic mite. That's what's in the middle. It's the heart. The bands of gold don't matter if the heart is not. And I keep this around my neck for the last 2 years to remind me in the morning, look, your heart is what I'm after. For us, we fully connected to God's supply line about 25 years ago. For us, for me and Mona, for us, we decided the kingdom is worth the cash. We decided the souls are worth the investment. We trust that God could lead us to more money. But it's about provision, not the money. Provision, what is God saying to the church? And I believe it's a prophetic word. Connect to God's supply line. And you will find out that God's supply line will never fail. God's provision is way, 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 way more than money. Stop living on credit in the natural and in the spiritual. And start living on God's promises and purposes. He made a covenant. If you will, your money will be blessed. But the new covenant says, if you won't, I still will not curse you. It's the power of the cross. Begin now. That's why we're doing coming up on Wednesday night, the same. We're doing the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace at this campus. We did last camp. If your finances are kind of, you need to sign up and go. Tithing, yes. Jesus commanded a tithe. I'm not going to go into it, but people said Jesus didn't command tithe. Oh, read carefully out of Matthew 23:23. He did. He said, do not neglect this. The biblical discipline of tithing and first fruits is the major key to releasing the fullness of the provision of God upon your life. Without apology. What blocks, I believe, for many, provision, both supernatural and natural, is how we process money in our minds and our hearts and our hands. Do we process money in our heart or the heart of Christ? By our thinking or the mind of Christ? Do we process it by our hands or the hands of Christ? No matter how much money is abused in the pulpits, and it is abused in the pulpits. But let me give you a little insight. While we're pointing at the pulpits, it's also abused in the pews. Am I right or wrong, church? And no matter how uneasy money messages make us, how we process this number one love of man. That's why Jesus would kind of, no matter what they ask about, how do I get these eternal things? How do these miracles and all that? He would always bring it around to, well, let's talk about your money and your possessions. No matter how uneasy, and I guarantee you, obviously, these were uneasy for messages for the people that Jesus was speaking to. It was uneasy for that man with rich possessions. He said it made him sad, and he walked away. It's the gateway to the fullness of God's provisions. Be it a little, the widow's mite, or a lot, the man with many possessions, our hearts matter to God. Sometimes people want to come to me and ask me about tithing. No, don't come to me and ask me about tithing. And I always ask them, I said, first, what's your motive, to give more or give less? Ding, 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 ding. But really, in light of what Jesus said concerning the widow's mite, and in light of what he told the possessions of the man with many, any arguments, even conversations around tithing become moot. Listen, your heart cannot be limited to the 10% or the 90%. And let me say this, if the 10% stumbles you, the 90% will stumble you too. God always has more for you than money. Blessed you shall be. He didn't say more money. He said, blessed you shall be in the city and the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase. Come on, worship team, I'm finished. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. He said, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. He said, the Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That covenant is for you. And what I don't want, don't make the mistake of leaving here, and if you're not a tither, believing that your money is cursed. It is not. That's a lie from hell. Does it have the fullness of blessing? No. But it's not cursed. That's why you're able to drive here today. But God is saying, as these 20s come, this is just one piece of preparation. Church, open up your supply land. And it doesn't begin in your bank account, it begins in your heart. It begins in realizing that you are called, you are blessed for a purpose as soldiers in the army of the Lord. When we get out there, and guess what? I studied that battle in North Africa with Rommel and then Montgomery and Patton and the way Rommel Hitler's boy, where he lost when the supply line of ammunition and fuel, he outran it, thinking he could do it, and he outran the supply line, and his tanks died, and they all died. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Don't walk away from your supply line. Don't outrun your supply line doing it my mind, my heart, my hands. I want to pray for some things this morning for this P. I want to pray for jobs. I want to pray for businesses. I want to pray for hearts. Increase. Financial situations. But most of all, just that vision and perspective adjustment that we might, I want us all to come and get to that place. I want to get to that place, and I confess, I think I'm there. But Lord, I don't want to face the test of the widow's mite when it's down to nothing but what would I do? I don't even like facing the test of being with me. I got a lot of toys. Trust me, I got toys. But if Jesus walked in and said, sell all you have, even the house, everything, and give it to the poor, pick up your cross and follow me. I want to be like Peter. First, he couldn't do it until he saw the resurrected Jesus, and then he did it. Followed him, and he got on his own cross. The heart is all God is looking for. So if you need prayer around that area of provision and money or a job you need or increase or just a perspective, just let's all stand on our feet. And if that's you, I want to pray for you first, and then and just come on up to the front if that's your job, needs, finances, breakthrough. Just come on up right now. I don't want to pray. And then we're going to worship. And I think maybe you just need to stay at the altar and worship. I'm not going to put the prayer team to work today. It's just, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.